Hey, welcome to New Hope Underground, and we are back with another exciting series overview.
Old PT and PPD?
The P Diddy.
P Diddy.
That's not a good thing to be called right now.
Yeah, I know. Man, I saw someone on social media post something. They're like, is it possible that P Diddy did some of the things he rapped about?
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
I still don't fully know what's going on. I just saw that he got raided by Homeland Security.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Anyway. Yeah, because they think there's some trafficking going on. I mean, it's just
I didn't know that was why.
He took off on a plane to the Caribbean. I mean, it's just...
Woof.
Whole thing is nuts.
Hey.
So...
God judges. Eventually, stuff comes to light.
We'll go with PT and Darren.
Yeah. But hey, we haven't done an episode together in a while.
We haven't.
That was what I was saying. We're back. Got the old band back together.
We are. We're back. We're back.
We're back.
Dirty Dan's back.
Dirty Dan the garbage man.
Should have known that was be the first. Should we say the word back? It's like automatic.
Yeah, we're back. Gotta use your radio voice.
Hey, we are talking about a series overview today, which is we haven't done in a while.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's been a busy. Well,
yeah, just craziness.
You were out at another campus, and it's just schedules.
Yeah, we had a big staff shakeup basically in January 1, and so we're just trying to play catch up. Basically,
yeah, I think we're still getting used to because it's crazy that it's only been 3 months since all. The shifts happened, you stepping into the campus pastor role in Shelbyville and Aaron stepping into the discipleship role. It's just so schedules are very different and things are different.
It's kind of taking me out of the underground loop because I'm
because you're not here.
Not physically in the studio.
Yeah, you're not here as much as you normally are. And so still trying to figure out what the new ebb and flow of all that is. But we've got some ideas for future episodes coming up. Got some people we're going to interview.
We got some great stories.
Yeah, so some cool things coming
up. That's what I love about Underground is the stories. I mean, people's stories have been awesome.
That's the currency we operate in.
That's right.
Stories.
That's right. We're all about movement.
Yeah.
I've heard that term somewhere before.
Stories of movement.
That's right.
It's kind of central to what we do.
It's very central. In fact, just about everything is attested to that.
I mean, yeah.
And what Jesus is doing in people's lives, that's for sure.
But today we're talking about a series overview. We would usually do this before we begin each series, and it is as accurately named as it possibly could be.
And the name of the new series is?
Series. Oh.
the name of the new series. We'll try one more time. So the name of the new series is?
Disordered Desires.
Oh. There we go. And the crowd goes crazy.
My mind just went blank whenever you asked me that.
That's okay.
Because I was thinking of the name of the segment.
That's all right.
Is series overview. Name of the series is series overview.
we just went through a long time at the beginning talking about how we haven't done this in a long time. We set ourselves up to apologize.
I'd say we would edit that out, but we don't edit around
No,
here.
We don't edit.
We don't do that.
Who's got time to edit?
You need to know our humanness. You need to know our flaws. Yeah, so we are doing a series called Disordered Desires, and I'll kind of give a window into why we're doing the series and kind of what it's about in general.
And starting right after Easter.
Yeah, it's coming right out of Easter.
We're recording this right before Easter weekend.
We are in Passion Week.
Yes.
Right now.
Maundy Thursday.
You know, anytime I hear someone say Maundy Thursday, I immediately think of The Godfather. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday. So I'm like, it sounds like they're saying Monday, Thursday.
Yes, Monday, Thursday.
I feel like I'm an Italian Don.
You know, I just looked
listing off days of the week.
Do you even know what Monday means? I just looked it up like yesterday.
Doesn't it mean something around serving or service or something like that?
Yeah, it's talking about the time when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples.
Yeah, because it was Thursday night is whenever.
Yeah.
That's technically Thursday evening is whenever the Last Supper happened. But I guess by Jewish days, because it was after dusk.
I was just listening to Gary Habermas on that, and he said you go back to the Old Testament, 3 days to the Jews are always it's always a day after tomorrow.
Yeah,
it's what they're referring to all the time.
Yeah,
so it's like it makes sense
because like with their days beginning at dusk,
right?
Like beginning in the evening, it's just very different than how we viewed. It's confusing anyway. But yeah, because I remember I had looked that up of like what does Maundy actually mean, and I can't remember off the top of my head the exact phrasing of it, but it was something around service.
We're changing our new series from Disordered Desires to What Does Mondi Mean?
Mondi Desires. We're going to call it Mondi Thursday.
The Monday Mash.
The Mondi Mash. Wow.
Well, welcome back.
Lord to help Underground. Us. Lord help us.
Yes.
Come Holy Spirit. No, okay, so
that's what the whole audience is thinking at this moment.
They think that every time we do a podcast. Okay, so yeah, the series Disordered Desires. Some of this came around the idea a couple different directions. I'll see. Sorry, I have like five thoughts at once. I'll try to organize to make sense. The concept of the series at its core is looking at how, because of the cross, because of the empty tomb, because of his resurrection and crucifixion and resurrection, that God is going to stop at nothing but our total transformation.
Mm.
That this is not just getting a get out of jail free card, get a ticket to heaven. And sometimes, unfortunately, in the shallow end, I'll say this, I'll try to be kind. In the shallow end of the pool in evangelicalism, that's what salvation is, just in the shallow end of the pool.
Mm.
We like to swim in the deep end. And the deep end is that God's putting the world back together and he's not giving up, including us, and he's not giving up until he's done. He is restoring, he is, you know, reconciling all things to himself, restoring everything. And so Jesus desires absolute transformation of who we are. That is what salvation is. It does affect our eternity. I mean, it's the Dallas Willard quote, that eternal life begins now and stretches forward into, it's life with God that begins now and stretches forward into eternity. Right. So it does affect our future, but it's meant to affect our present as well, that Jesus does want to transform us so that we are, what's the phrase in scripture, that that we are being conformed to the image of Christ.
Mm.
And so that's what kind of, which I feel like is a natural outflow of Easter, like we talk about the resurrection. So then the question that would flow is, so what? Jesus rose from the dead. What does that mean then for us? Well, it means our absolute transformation. You know, just that. No big deal. Our absolute transformation.
Just everything in your being.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
But I think that's important because sometimes we can compartmentalize ourselves, compartmentalize our different parts of our lives, including our spiritual life. It's this one part of my life over here, and that it doesn't, again, and I'm talking the shallow end of the pool often when I say this, it doesn't bleed into the other areas of my life. Mm-hmm. And so there are large tracts of my life that go untransformed, and Jesus longs to transform all of them.
See, that's what I would, what you described there is what I would define as religion.
Yeah. Religion compartmentalizes it into an aspect of your life. But the type of life that, I mean, Jesus offered us a yoke. An easy yoke, a light burden, and the rabbinical talk of a yoke was a lifestyle. I'm offering you a life to live that affects everything because it's the kingdom of God breaking forth in your life. Anyway, so take that idea, you know, just total transformation, real simple idea, and combine it with, there was a quote I had read years ago, but man, it just always stuck with me. I think it was Augustine of Hippo, a church father from the 4th century, where he said that all sin is disordered love.
Right.
And the Eastern church, like the Eastern part of the church, the Greek church and stuff like that, really grabbed onto that idea and began to talk about, because normally we can think of sin as breaking the rules, which is true. I mean, the Bible does talk about there are laws, there are commandments, there are statutes that we can break, and that is sin. But the way the Eastern church really talked about sin is they talked about sin as disordered desire, which is kind of, I like using that word, which is why we named it disordered desires instead of disordered loves. Because in English, at least, love can have a very one-dimensional, even though it has many meanings in Greek,
right,
can have a one-dimensional meaning in English. And anyway, but they would talk about sin as disordered desire, meaning like, and you've heard me say this before, and I've even talked about this in messages, that desire is the fuel of the spiritual life. that God has designed us in a way to desire specific things, chiefly him. I mean, really, at the end of the day, all of our desires, whether it's physical desires or mental, you know, thoughts and desires, or even deep soul desires, all of them ultimately point to God, that he is the fulfillment of all of our desires. But because of sin, they're disordered in all different kinds of ways. Like the actual word sin in Greek is an archery term, which means to miss the mark.
Right.
So that then that idea of sin being disordered desire makes sense, because it's like, for example, sexual desire. Like sexual desire is not a bad thing. He actually created sex. You're supposed to become one. And Adam and Eve, before sin entered into the world, it said that they were united as man and woman, and they became one flesh through sex. Like, God designed that to reflect our union with him. Again, it's pointing back to him. But what has happened because of sin, those desires have been disordered to where now, yes, I have sexual desires, and yes, they're given from God, but in my flesh, I desire promiscuity.
Well, you're not desiring the oneness.
Yeah.
You're desiring the fleshly,
version of it, distortion of it. And so it's like,
just the sheer pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then, even though God has given me a desire to be united sexually with someone, ideally it's like, it's supposed, you know, God has designed it to be in covenant marriage and become one flesh. In my flesh, I want to have sex with everything I see, or it's distorted to the point of homosexuality. I want to have sex with someone of the same sex, or I want to look at something on a computer to actually have sex with not even a person, but an idea, a fantasy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, again, at the heart of that is a God-given desire, but it has been distorted by my sin and by my flesh to be practiced in a way that is not from God. And so then, even though the arrow has been given by God, it's warped because of sin. And so when I fire that arrow, it doesn't hit the mark I really should be hitting. It hits something entirely different. And I'm just using sex as an example, but it's like all kinds of things. I mean, it's like, that's what... even lying is an example of that. Of oftentimes we have a desire to protect ourselves, which I think is a God-given desire, to protect ourselves from harm or protect ourselves from something difficult. But it's distorted to where it becomes entirely inward and evil, to where really I do need to experience a tough consequence, but in my selfishness, I don't want to. So I lie to get out of it. Mm. I distort the truth. And I mean, I could go on and keep giving examples.
It's basically,
get the idea.
It's basically for whose pleasure are you living for?
Yeah.
You know, and it reminds me of what James says about how desire gives birth to sin.
Yeah.
So he kind of lays it out almost in order. Like, we are dragged away by our own evil desires and enticed. And then that desire gives birth to sin. That sin gives birth to death.
Yeah.
He kind of lays it out.
Well, I mean, even the whole idea of, because like in that same text, he talks about how you covet and kill. It's that, I mean, even around the idea of coveting, of like, because like in the scripture, it would talk about coveting someone's donkey or coveting their wife. Now there's natural desires there for me to be married. A donkey represents financial provision. For me to have financial stability and security, those are natural things to desire.
Right.
And there's ways to pursue those that honor God. Of, I wait for God to bring the right person into my life, or I pursue an honest day's labor. But because sin distorts those desires, I realize, gosh, I can circumvent the waiting, or I can circumvent the hard work by having an affair with this person, coveting this person's wife, or stealing from this person. I'm still getting a similar result at the end. I'm getting the thing that I quote unquote desire, but I've gone about it in a broken, disordered way, a way that doesn't honor God, a way that is inward focused rather than like others or God focused. And so it's funny, because there's a soupiness in that of like how we in our own lives sort out what are God-given, like what is the actual God-given desire,
right?
And how is that practiced and lived out in a way that honors God versus me living out of my flesh? And that's, I mean, honestly, some of those questions, that's what we're going to answer in the series.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to ask, where are we going then?
Yeah.
Because I think that, like you said, even just kind of laughing, kind of tongue in cheek, we're like, it just means total transformation.
Yeah.
You know, like, so how in the world, I mean, obviously, I think this is something that breathes into every time we try to preach or teach, you know,
yeah,
in the sense that what do Jesus followers are supposed to look like? Not just acting like Jesus, but becoming like Jesus. That requires incredible transformation.
Yeah.
And we were, someone told me once that the way they put it was, when I became a follower of Jesus, the word eternity was stamped on my forehead.
Mm.
What they meant by that was just so obvious in my life.
Yeah.
That I'm a changed person. That, like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know, totally reconciled. I don't even look at the world from the same point of view anymore.
Mm.
You know, it's what I find is amazing is when people talk about transformation, they think that what God's going to do is take away, you know, maybe when you come to Christ, he's going to take away all those desires, or he's going to take away all the circumstances that you find yourself in so that you might be holy. And I don't look at it that way. I look at it like, no, he's changing your perception of your circumstances.
Yeah.
He's changing your perception of your desires. And when that changes, it sets you free from those things.
Yeah.
Because you no longer,
you're not a slave to them anymore.
Yeah. It's like, for instance, do I really care about what everybody thinks about me? And when I finally get to the point where I don't care, when I change my perception, I don't care what everybody thinks about me. It's amazing how freeing that is.
Yeah.
You know, when I, how confident I can be in my life when I don't care about what everybody thinks and says.
Yeah.
And we talk about that all the time in our daily life. But how true is that? As when our perception changes. So I think that I may be speaking out of turn here. I don't mean to, but as you get into the series and what we're going to be covering in the series, I almost look at it like we're trying to argue about how that perception needs to change.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we're going to, I mean, we obviously, because it's a multi-week series, we wanted to try to organize it in some way that, I mean, because right now you and I are just kind of ping-ponging off stuff.
Exactly.
And talking about different ideas. But yeah, the series is going to be talking about what sanctification really looks like in different areas of us as people, meaning like, which obviously going to be starting at the core of starting at the heart and what our hearts genuinely like. Do we really desire God more than anything else? Or do we realize that all of our desires, one way or another, point ultimately to God and are fulfilled in
the first greatest commandment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, really, you just kind of named it there. We're going to be answering, and I feel like a creative way, what it looks like to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
Even in that command, it's naming the different dimensions of our lives, of realizing every aspect of who we are is supposed to be surrendered and transformed. And so we're going to be looking at the heart, like the core of our soul and heart and spirituality. We're going to be looking at our minds, our thought life, our emotions, like what role does the spirit, you know, does our thought life and our emotions play in our spirituality? We're going to be looking at the body, that we serve a resurrected Lord who is bodily resurrected.
Yeah.
And by him, I mean, we're celebrating that in just a few days. I mean, when we're recording this, people might be listening to it after, but that definitively, that the resurrection showed us definitively that the body matters to God.
Mm-hmm.
That we are called to an embodied spirituality, not to die and be this spirit floating off somewhere, playing a harp on a cloud, that the final result is it's a new heaven and a new earth. We'll be living in a physical place in physical resurrected bodies. And so life in the body matters now too. And so what does it look like to reorder the desires of the body around the gospel? And then finally, and I'm actually really excited because of some of the conversations I've had around the last week, we're actually going to be talking about relationships too, that there's desires around our relationships too, our interactions with other people, our desires for other people and with other people.
The second command.
Yeah. I was going to say, love your neighbor as yourself, that we're going to take, we stumbled upon, I was having a conversation, Aaron is actually going to be teaching that week. And I'm just giving a little teaser around that. we stumbled upon an idea that I've never thought of before. I mean, it was a revelation in some ways. And we were almost in the conversation, almost like, whoa, like I've not thought of our relation, like the call of our relationships to each other in that way before. And it was looking at a text that I've read 100 times. And that's the beauty of scripture. Yeah, is you think bet. You know what something means, and then I'm like, well, wait, and I pointed something out, and then Aaron, yeah, well, what about this? And we just kind of arrived at a moment, and then my first thing was like, dang, I wish I was teaching this now, because like Aaron had yeah. offered to take it, and then I'm like, now I'm kind of jealous that I'm not teaching it, because I'm like, that's a powerful idea, and like, so anyway, so all that to say, little teaser, that's going to be the last week of this year, is just talking about relationships. And how, man, just every dimension of who we are is supposed to be transformed and reordered around the gospel.
Right. So at this time, Tyler's going to go ahead and tell us the whole thing so that Aaron doesn't have anything to share. On.
I'm going to rip the rug right out from under his feet. All right. So in the message, this is what we're going to talk about, guys. Just totally. And then so why I don't. Aaron's like, I don't know why everybody looked like bored while I was preaching. Like, it's like they had already heard it.
It's already out there.
No, yeah. But anyway, just... A lot of our conversations around this particular series just got me really excited, and it felt the most appropriate that, like, this is what people need to know, especially for maybe people who might be listening to this coming out of Easter, and maybe they put their trust, they put their hope in Christ, maybe for the first time, and they realize, like, man, we're not called to just splash around in the shallow end of the pool and like, hey, I got my get out of jail free card. I'm good to go, and I can keep living my life in all of its disordered desires the way I always have been. It's like, no, there's only death in that. Like, we're called to nothing less than total transformation. And not saying this series is going to bring total transformation, but will maybe at least help us to understand the need for it, that actually is the call, is to be transformed into the image of Christ.
No, that's good. Well, I'm glad everybody got a good background of what we're going to be, where we're kind of headed starting in April 7th. So it'll be April, the month of April, basically.
Whole month of April, 7th, 14th, 2024. And 28th.
So a lot of good stuff in there. We've got, you know, the disordered loves, disordered desires of Augustine and his hippo and everybody else.
He rode a hippo into Jerusalem. Oh, no, wait.
We got a lot of good stuff going on. So make sure you know, if you don't come to anything else, go to Aaron's sermon so you can hear what in the world we were talking about.
The idea he stole from me. No.
Yeah, the idea that he stole from the hippo and Augustine and everybody else. Anyway. Hey.
You heard it here first.
Hey, thanks for listening to New Hope Underground. We'll be back soon for more stories of movement. Make sure you tune into those and check those out, because they're just genuine stories of what Jesus is doing, transforming lives, as we're talking about, not just in theory or in theology, but in real life.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll see you guys later.